We got a division in a blender now after last night. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The Rams take care of the Minnesota Vikings. And now they're live, Pearl. So you've got the 49ers, also in the NFC West, who are battered and bruised. They host the Dallas Cowboys, who Cowboys haven't been great this season, but they are coming off a bye, and the 49ers are definitely beat up. That's going to be a game. And then you've got the Seahawks have a big game against my Buffalo Bills this weekend. Arizona Cardinals are going to Miami to face the Dolphins. Maybe we're not so into the Cardinals, but you cannot tell me for sure how this division is going to shake out, especially with the Rams having Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp back in the fold. They looked totally different last night.
Yeah, it's a mess. I could make a compelling case for all three of those, except for the Cardinals, all three of those teams. And who knows, the Cardinals could play spoiler a lot. You know what? I feel like the Niners have been in this spot before where they've gotten either healthier midseason or they've added a player. I feel like everyone's burying them a little too much.
The 49ers?
Yeah.
Well, but here's the thing. It's not about burying them. It's the fact that it just doesn't look the same. Can we acknowledge that? It may get better, but are you sure Christian McCaffrey is coming back and how is he going to look? George Kittle is dealing with injury. Deebo Samuel, whether it's injury, whether now it's illness has been the latest. There's just a reality to the 49ers right now. That's not burying them. That's just seeing what they are at this point of the season, which is not as dangerous.
What if McCaffrey's there in week 12?
Okay, well, that's week 12. We're talking about now.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but I'm saying it's an 18-week season. That's why I'm saying we're burying them too much because they're judging who they are right now. There's a chance they're a different team by the end.
Yeah, and there's a chance that this season that has started and kind of been a nightmare from the very beginning sort of careens towards that, where you started with off-season holdouts and some bad feelings, and then with not just Brandon Ayuk, but also Trent Williams as well. You had your first-round receiver, thankfully, was shot. He recovered. He's playing now. Ricky Pearsall. You've had injuries on the defense. You've had rotating defensive coordinators. I mean, there's a possibility this is just not the season for the 49ers as well.
But there's also a season they're a way better team once all the guys get back. I mean, honestly, just add McCaffrey in there. You're saying that you're just assuming McCaffrey will not be healthy, but you can't make that assumption in this day and age. Like, what if he comes back? Did you think Cooper Kupp was going to go out there and look like a madman last night? Do you think Puka Nacua was going to go out there and have over 100 yards receiving? I'm just telling you, I think people are burying the Niners too soon. That's just how I feel. And I also think that last week's game, the fact that they, with that receiving core, they were even in it with the Chiefs, is almost a testament. Like, that game should have, by the end, they were throwing to nobody. Ricky Pearsall got shot in the chest,
yeah,
and he's their leading target guy. This is, they're going to get better. There's just no way. I know they lost Ayuk, but I honestly think once you get, there's going to be a day where there's a healthy McCaffrey, a healthy Deebo, a healthy Kittle, and then you add in a healthy Jordan Mason. I just think there's a chance that this team could be different.
It's a massive game this weekend against the Cowboys. First of all, it always is. I know the 49ers have owned the Cowboys, but there's a lot of history with these two organizations. Can I just tell you a little something from yesterday? Yesterday, we put a poll up that said, do you still think the Rams can make a run to the postseason? And 76% of people said no. It was a landslide. I'd love to do that poll again, because the Rams now look very live with Nacua and with Cooper Kupp. I don't know how long they'll have Cooper Kupp. I could see him maybe getting re-injured. Their offensive line is not great, but Stafford makes up for a lot of it, and their defense looked very spry last
night. I think they get their offensive line gets healthy again soon, but that's a huge, we say that, that's a huge game in Seattle next week.
Massive. Well,
if they lose that game, that's a real problem.
So, okay, we're talking about the NFC West. There was also a lot of details about this game last night that were controversial, and that was at the very end of the game, last drive for the Vikings ended up being a face mask, clear face mask, doesn't get called on Sam Darnold, would have given the ball to the Vikings. It would have been first and 10, maybe like around the 20, right? Instead, it's a safety, which obviously puts the game out of reach because now it's a two-score game. It had been an 8-point lead, so you need a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, but the safety obviously ended the game. And it was a safety, but the face mask was there and never got called. And it's because the refs couldn't see it, and face mask is not reviewable.
Right. And I just want it on the record. You were saying face masks should always be reviewed.
I do, because I think it's cut and dry. You know, we review things that are way bigger judgment calls.
What if it's not directly in the play. Like, you could get a face mask with legal use of the hands anywhere on the field.
I hate when anything is called when it's away from the play. Like, but all these illegal formations that are getting called when the play's going to the total opposite side, that bothers me on every... That's long before we had replay or anything like
also,
that.
Also, there's a little bit of judgment because it's not just touching the face mask. You have to actually... You have to... Right. You have to affect the person's neck.
And would you say that happened last night? Sam Darnold got twisted around and pulled out of the ground.
You're saying it's never... It's not always black and white. There's got to be in between plays. I just think if you want that, then you have to live with it.
I want it. So, I want it to be called the Sam Darnold play, or you know, I want it to be called the Sam Darnold rule.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there could be a big touchdown, and then a minute later, somebody calls in from the opposing booth, hey, you didn't see this when so-and-so was running their route. They got caught in the face mask. And their head turned.
And listen,
pull it back.
If that's the way they were, if that's where they were throwing the ball to that side of the field.
What if it wasn't?
Well, I don't want. I told you, I don't like when any penalty gets called opposite away from the play.
But you have to call them, especially if you're going to like a full video system.
See, I don't think so.
You're saying this is allowed?
No. I'm saying if it's a penalty call that's away from the play, that to me is hunting for penalties. We're talking about does it impact the play?
But the officials have assignments right in front of them. Every receiver. DB matchup is assigned.
Yes.
So they have to call it. If they see a hold, they have to call it.
Right. They will. I'm saying for replays and stuff like that.
So replay is only specific to that side of
it. I would think if it impacts the play, yes.
Well, that seems like a very slippery slope, too.
Why?
So if there's a replay, say there was an illegal chop block or something, but it's away from the play.
No, I think only
away
things,
from the play. Oh, yeah.
You only replay and change things on stuff that actually has to do with the play. What's so weird about that?
Well, so okay, because you're saying like, but you're saying on a normal play, it doesn't have to do with the play. A penalty is a penalty, no matter where it happens.
Listen, if you normally call it in real time, that's how you call it.
But in replay, it's only a thing. So
you can't replay and then go looking for penalties.
That's what this is. Because you're not. You know,
I don't see it that way. I think you're trying to get the call right on what happened with the play. That's not, to me, that's not looking and hunting for penalties. That's trying to get it right in the for what happened on that play.
It's kind of like when they buzz down, when they see, you know, oh, I don't know if he caught that, and he buzz it and say, just like last night, like, dude, they got that face mask replay pretty quick. You would then buzz down and say, hey, before the Rams snap the ball, we got to review that play because it was a, you know, flag. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand the mechanics of it, but... I mean, it is in a sense, like, it wasn't like, it's easy to call, like, was Cooper Kupp's foot on the white line? Like, that's easy to replay.
Face mask is easy.
I think face mask is just as easy as foot on the white line. Because how long, remember the very first game of the season, how many replays of Isaiah Likely's big toe did we look at the back of the end zone? It's the same thing.
But did you think that pass interference was going to be easy to review as well?
Listen, we don't know. The pass interference thing, they started calling that after the Saints got screwed in the NFC Championship game.
They started reviewing it the following year, lasted 1 year.
Okay, but that could have been a mistake. They could have kept it in for a second year, and maybe we actually would have liked it. Maybe it would have been useful. They pulled the trigger way too fast to me on that, and that's what started this precedent, too, I think, of the competition committee just willy-nilly. Like, they change and they change replay rules all the time. It's like they're like Browns coaches and quarterbacks. They'll just flip through them, you know? Cycle. It's like a carousel. You know what I'm saying?
No, because they don't. What are you talking about?
Okay, for example, this. The kickoff rule for now. This new kickoff rule.
That's not replay rule, though. Right?
I'm just saying. Yeah. For your time, the competition committee. This is a trial basis, guys. This could all go away next year.
They've been kind of conservative on the replay review, though. You don't want to open a Pandora's box where
it's
all of a sudden...
Open.
Well, it's not really, because once you start replaying everything, then the other team's going to be like, well, you guys missed this hold over here, and you're going to have to throw the flag.
What about the UFL rule where you have a super challenge, where essentially, regardless of whether you lose any challenges or how much time is left, you can say, hey, this call needs to be looked at because you missed something or anything. Like, that you get one, each team gets one. They do it in the UFL. It's pretty popular there.
I think
that would have saved the Vikings last night.
I think the key distinction here is, and what you guys are saying is, face mask is not a judgment call. It's a black and white. It's just like a guy stepping on the line or not stepping on the line. It's that clear.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that is that's a good argument.
But
the problem
is,
if you're going to start to review holding, illegal hands to the face, any kind of thing with any judgment, then you're really in a bit of trouble.
Okay, but you're talking about Pandora's box. You can replay catch, not a catch.
That's fine. But at least that's like focusing on one thing. I mean, if you're like
face mask.
Yeah, but so is holding. I mean, if they start reviewing holding, then, oh my God, the game is going to be unbearable.
Okay, I agree with you on that. But I would say catch, not a catch feels more like a judgment call at times than even face mask would be. And they are totally fine reviewing catch, not a catch.
I would disagree with that. I think catch, not a catch is pretty, I mean, yes, I know what you're saying.
We have no idea what a catch is.
But it's a lot different than, like, say, holding or pass interference. Like, that is, like, really judgmental because there's pass interference on both guys on almost every pass play. So it's a question of, like, wait, did this pass the threshold of where it's egregious?
EJ, I loved your comment from before that you said in the break, which was if the fans had just started throwing bottles on the field like they did during Texas and Georgia, maybe they could have huddled.
There was enough Vikings fans in SoFi last night to make that happen.
By the way, has anyone else been thinking about that for this college football weekend?
Oh, no, I didn't think about it for this weekend. I thought about it for that game. I was like, you know what? I prefer what happened in Texas, Georgia than what happened last night. I would rather have that than what I saw last night.
Where the fans have to throw so much debris on the field that it stops the game, the officials huddle and change the call.
Yes. Now, I don't want...
Now, that can't happen.
No, well, that's here's the thing. Let me be clear. The result is what I want.
Right.
So, I don't want anyone throwing stuff on the field. But just taking the events in a vacuum... What was worse to me was still missing an obvious face mask and just the game being over.
But I don't think you just willy-nilly decide these new rules on the fly because, say, in that Texas game, like you can't just all of a sudden decide that you're going to be able to review pass interference calls. You say ultimately the most important thing was that they got it right. But to me, ultimately, it was like they just made up a new review process out of thin air.
That was terrible. Both these situations suck. But to me... I mean, SoFi has the biggest screen.
Right.
Like, they could just look up and say, oh, snap, okay. And they threw a flag, and then Sean McVay would have been crazy. I would have been like, sit down, buddy. It was clearly a flag.
So
like,
what if it had been a minute and a half later?
That's what DJ's saying. Well, if you threw bottles on the field, it took...
No, I'm saying, like, what if, like, how quickly? What if it took the NFL a little bit? Say it took them 45 seconds, and then a flag came out for face mask. That would have been...
I don't have an issue with that because we have replay assists and
the game a lot.
It's got to go really fast. I think if they had called a replay assist and called a face mask and it had been, say it wasn't like immediate, I think people would have gone ballistic because they'd be like, wait, you're
but
not...
But that happens now.
But also, I don't think
we replay assists now, right?
We wouldn't have went ballistic. We saw the face mask. Everyone sitting at home is like, where's the face mask?
Has there ever been a replay assist on a face mask?
No, but I'm saying that, like, the idea that people would have been upset that replay assistant would have changed that call? No, everyone was upset they didn't make the call.
What? I think they would have been upset because they're like, well, you just changed the process on the fly.
Well, that's why face mask should be reviewable.
There's never been a replay assist, like pass interference. The kind of things that replay assists are totally different. It's like, was that a first down? Or did the ball get tipped before the pass interference? Or was his body over the line of scrimmage when he threw the ball? They don't replay assists and be like, well, that wasn't holding. That never happened.
I know, but I think what we're saying is face mask feels like the type of penalty that is as black and white as is it a first down.
Good, then you guys better figure that out in the offseason and add it to the rules. You can't just do it with 1 minute left in the game on a Thursday night.
I think that's what we're asking for, right? It's like this came up.
They couldn't have done anything last night. That's my point.
Well, as the owners of what team do we own, EJ? I don't know if we're going to get vote.
The expansion team.
But we could try to use our microphone for a little bit of influence here.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, imagine if they had huddled for 30 seconds and then thrown a flag for face mask. That is, I'm telling you, that's not how they use replay assists. That would have been very interesting.
Bro, the way they sit around and talk about whether it's an intentional grounding or not intentional grounding.
But they're looking at it because they want to see the film and see, like, was he outside the box? Like, those are very easy things to see. I'm telling you, if they had replay assist on this face mask for the first time ever in the history of the sport that had happened, all of a sudden, and with a minute left of the game, you don't think that'd be a bit of a problem.
Well, no, with the way the rules are now, that's not a reviewable play. We're saying it should be.
Yeah, no, I hear you. That's great. I'm not arguing with that, but like, I think nothing was happening last night. They couldn't do anything once they missed it last night. Like, they couldn't all of a sudden replay assists
and go back to it.
Yeah, there was nothing they could have done. Once they missed it, they basically missed it because replay assist has not been used like that yet.
I know, and I think what's frustrating sometimes to fans, and I'll put myself right in there, is you have all the cameras. we know you can use replay on stuff, and that when something egregious happens, all of a sudden it's like, well, it wasn't written into Rule 17-2, Paragraph 8. And it feels a little more procedural than it is, you know, like that they just haven't gotten around to it yet. And after you see what happened with Darnold and the Vikings last night, would they have scored the touchdown and the two-point conversion? The odds were slim. Would I have liked to have watched them try? Absolutely. 855-212-4227. So that's a little what's going on. And the ramifications now, no pun intended, for the Rams of getting back into this division race in the NFC West, which is cool. And you've got the 49ers with a massive game against Dallas on Sunday.
Yeah. I'm so like weirded out. But like, do you guys notice Sam Darnold was getting destroyed on every play, including that play? He was standing in the end zone. I don't even know why. Like, there's no way they were scoring a touchdown. I'm sorry. I know you said you would like to see it. There would have been two penalties and a sack, and that game was going to end deep in the Vikings territory. I'm just telling you right now, but please go ahead.
Well, you think it would have. I just wanted to see what would have happened.
The fourth quarter. Like, there was nothing. That was a very, very slim chance. Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have seen them miss a two-point conversion, then get a onside kick and throw a Hail Mary. That would have been neat, too.
I know, but Perloff, if you just want to say, well, okay, what would have happened because the way it was trending, then you might as well have golfers pick up putts, and you might as well have, you know, don't throw Hail Marys, and all these other things that aren't expected, you know. We got to watch it play out. That's sports.
For example, Detroit, Dallas, blowing out Dallas. You know, I would have liked, what if they miss this penalty? You know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's 32-7, but I'm not sure what's going to happen because they could have an all-time comeback. At a certain point, there is probability that it ain't going to happen.
Right, but that's a blowout. This was a one-score game. They're totally different. EJ already gave you the example earlier in the year of your Philadelphia Eagles had the game won against the Falcons to the point where Joe Buck and Aikman said the game's over.
Yeah, Scott Van Pelt's like, check out the Eagles highlights and the Eagles postgame after this win.
It was the same thing. He mushed it. By the way, there's one thing that nobody's talking about from this game from last night quickly that I just want to bring up because I've not seen this once. So you mentioned Sam Darnold under duress the entire second half, and you're right about that. And what was one of the big reasons why?
Because his tackle got hurt.
Exactly. Christian Darrisaw, the highest paid left tackle in the NFL, got hurt.
Everybody's talking about that. What do you mean?
Why were they running plays? He gets hurt with 35 seconds left to go, backed up in right in front of their own end zone with 35 seconds. Why were the Vikings, are they really trying to score there? They should have taken a knee and gone to the locker room. Now, this is my point. Like, they still were running plays. They could have just taken a knee. And he gets hurt on that play. If I'm Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Vikings, I am sick about that. Now, listen, he could have come out after halftime and gotten hurt on the first snap. But what were you fixing to do back there? What were the odds you were really going to score? Perloff, if you're somebody who's like, well, let's play the odds, where were they? Were like the 6-yard line or something.
And the Rams had no timeouts. I don't remember the situation.
I don't remember the timeout situation.
So what, couldn't the Rams have gotten the ball back?
With 35 seconds left to go?
If they were punting out of their own end zone, yeah.
But then, if that's the case, though,
that's like a surefire field goal.
I mean, I guess, but yeah.
They ran two plays. They got the ball back with 35 seconds left to go, and Aaron Jones went up the middle for 2 yards, and Christian Darrisaw got hurt.
So, yeah, well, I'm not sure. And what line were they? What line were they?
They were at the 3.
Yeah, no, that's definitely like the Rams are definitely on top of that one, right? They want to get the ball back.
I don't know if they had any timeouts. I got to look. Anyway.
At the 3 also, too, like you kneel, you can't lose that many yards on a kneel, but it's 1 yard back.
Yeah.
That's a tough spot to kneel. You can't kneel right against your own goal line. Really?
855-212-4227. Haven't heard anyone talk about that. Anyway, okay, we've got lots to do. Our celebrity NFL picker is going to join us in about 10 minutes from now. We're going to get to that. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Vay's team.
I believe in the coaches. I believe in the players. I saw a resolve. I didn't see a flinch. And we still have a long way to go. You know, we've won 2 games in 5 days, but it's just 2 games. And we've done a good job of getting ourselves back to where we wanted to be.
McVay watched Matthew Stafford throw 4 touchdowns, 1 to Cooper Kupp, who was back from his ankle injury. Puka Nacua returned from his sprained knee with 7 catches for 106 yards. The Rams' defense only allowed 6 points after the first quarter. The Vikings losing for the second time in 5 days. Left tackle Christian Darrisaw hurt his left knee right before halftime and did not return. The Sixers have ruled out Paul George for their next two games after missing their opener because of that knee injury. He's actually hurt. We still don't know exactly what's up with Joel Embiid. No matter what, Charles Barkley doesn't like it.
People who got like real jobs who have to work 40, 50 hours a week, we're playing basketball at the most 4 days a week. Most of the time, 3 days a week. If they had said, and Kenny Shaq know this, yeah, he just say, I'm going to play 25 minutes on the second night or back-to-back, or during Drummond plays. But to come out and say it in advance was a stupidity by the Sixers, period.
That's Charles on TNT last night. The NBA's required investigation of Embiid missing opening night on national TV is now underway. On the court last night, Klay Thompson hit 6 threes in his Mavs debut, a 120-109 win over the Spurs. Victor Wembanyama, 17 points, but on 18 shots for San Antonio. Anthony Edwards hit 2 free throws, 2.4 seconds left to get the T-Wolves a 117-115 win in Sacramento. And the Thunder began their season with a 102-87 win in Denver. Nikola Jokic, 16 points, 12 boards, 13 assists in the loss. Dodgers righty Jack Flaherty throws the first pitch of the World Series tonight at 5:08 Pacific in L.A. Dave Roberts, will Shohei Ohtani throw a single pitch at any point in the series?
There is no possibility at all. None whatsoever. Thank you for asking.
It's my pleasure.
Had to be said. Had to be asked.
Had to be asked. That's true. Gerrit Cole has the ball for the Yankees tonight. As you have probably heard by now, this is the 12th World Series meeting between these two, the most played fall classic in baseball history. And sadly, guys, I should mention as well, Pitt, number 19 Pitt, a 41-13 rout of Syracuse last night. They picked off Kyle McCord. The Panthers did 5 times, returning 3 of them for touchdowns. And finally now, our good friends, the San Jose Sharks, lost again last night, 3-2 in Los Angeles. They are the first team since the 1960 and 61 Bruins to begin back-to-back seasons 8 games winless. Not
we got to get off this team. It's us.
We're the only ones left.
Well, and we should leave. I don't. We're not helping. Our mojo is not helping.
We should get to play for them at this point.
No thanks. We're a good time, and we're not translating. We don't speak fluent Shark, apparently. Perloff, you had a funny thing that you said before the show. We were talking about the Pitt Panthers. Yeah. Shocker. Oh, of course not.
You won't remember it.
We were talking about the Pitt-Syracuse game from last night, and you said if you just took all-time players from Pitt football, you could field maybe the greatest team in the history of football.
Yeah, this is one of my things. I go around proselytizing about Pitt players in the NFL. I start up random conversations. You have the best quarterback, Marino, best wide receiver, Fitzgerald, best running back, Tony Dorsett, with Shady McCoy, spelling him. You have the best defensive tackle of all time, Aaron Donald, and the best cornerback of all time, in my opinion, Darrelle Revis. That's best. Maybe Marino's not best, but it's crazy. I mean, what other school can even match that? Not your Alabamas, your Notre Dames.
Wait,
your
did Curtis Martin also go to Pitt?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't need 3.8 yards per carry. I'm going to take 10 to get a set.
Oh, my goodness.
Stop being disrespectful.
Wow. Come on. And Mike Ditka went to Pitt, didn't he?
Oh, Ditka's my tight end. I forgot about that. Yeah. There's a lot of Bill Frelick on the line.
Tony Dorsett went to Pitt, too.
What's that?
Tony Dorsett went to Pitt, too.
I put, yeah, I had Dorsett. Okay. Yeah. Sure. No, I put in Shady because he's a good third down back. Can catch the ball in an Andy Reid-style West Coast. You have Larry Fitzgerald. Jordan Addison, I know, went to Pitt. There's got to be another.
Russ Grimm.
There's a lot of O-linemen who went high. There's Hugh Green, former College Football Hall of Famer. I don't remember how great he was in the pros. It's insane. I can't imagine there's a school that can beat that because, first of all, the quarterbacks alone. I mean, who's better than Marino? You got Elway at Stanford. Stanford's not putting in a pro team. You got Brady, Michigan.
Put Miami against anybody.
Always. Who's your quarterback?
Vinny? Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly.
Oh, Jim Kelly. Yeah, that's pretty good.
He beat Marino a lot.
It's funny, though. Are we sure it wouldn't be Alabama? Because you could put Joe Namath if you go back a little bit, and so he could be your quarterback, or any of the other more recent quarterbacks.
Get Joe Namath, 16 touchdowns, 27 interceptions.
But you had a more nuanced presentation of this to me. Yeah. It says Pitt's like the best bizarro school roster.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they're not truly mainstream.
That's what you think of.
And all of those guys almost played separately. Like, they were, you know, almost none of them were teammates, which is why Pitt was never a national champion, number one in the country, because they were all individually on teams with a bunch of regular guys.
Yeah, I mean, but to have Aaron Donald.
Regular guys. Yeah. Is, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's funny. Top three, Aaron Donald, Darrell Revis, and Fitzgerald are so high up on their position. It's anyway.
And Marino
and Dorsett, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. That's a better Perloff take than the Tom Brady's assistant quarterback.
My big one was that I have a big thing on the Miami Hurricanes depth chart and the LSU and Clemson depth charts in the 2010s. Love these.
You have a big thing about
that? Yeah, there was a game where LSU played Clemson, and there were 14 NFL wide receivers on the field. We'll pull the box score out.
And you will let us know every one of their names?
I think we'd have to talk some West Virginia football, Maggie.
Yeah, well, let's get into West Virginia, and let's get into Hagerstown, Maryland. Let's get into the fact that WrestleMania 41 so it's on the horizon, guys. Las Vegas on April 19th and 20th, and tickets are now available at Ticketmaster.com. It is our pleasure to welcome in the United States champion, your pal and mine, L.A. Knight, joining the show as our celebrity NFL picker. L.A., thank you for the time. It's great to meet you. How are you, my friend?
Man, your pal and mine. And look, you just linked together a lot of things, and I'm not even sure that you know that you linked together.
Tell us.
Hagerstown, of course, that's where I was born and raised. I lived in L.A. for the last 11 or 12 years. But you also mentioned West Virginia just before that. And I did go to West Virginia University for about a year and a half back in 2000, 2001.
What's your greatest memory from West Virginia,
so
from Morgantown?
Lead in here.
L.A., what's your best memory from Morgantown?
Party town. big time party town there, and I missed way too many classes, that's for sure. Do I have a major memory? Yeah, a couple, but most of them are partying, and I probably can't talk about it. So,
well, your most famous football player is Pat
but
McAfee.
It was a good time.
Your most famous player now is Pat McAfee. I think that says a lot about West Virginia.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, look, we were never a great winning team. I can tell you that.
Never seen a couch go up in flames faster than I did in Morgantown, West Virginia. L.A. Knight is here with us. He's going to pick some NFL games in a moment. But, L.A., first about you, I love the quote that you had, which is you said it took 20 years for you to be an overnight success. It's such a great way to put it because I think we at times just see the glitz and glamour of you at WrestleMania, you beating Logan Paul to be the United States champion. We don't realize all the years and the work that goes into it. You know, was there ever a moment when you thought this is not going to happen for me? And if so, how'd you push through that?
You know, the entire time that I was doing it, I never had a moment where I thought it wasn't going to work out until the pandemic hit. And at that point, I think I was 37 or something like that. And I was just like, look, nobody's going to want to touch me, first of all, at this age. And then on top of that, I was just thinking, you know, also, you know, the world's in such a weird place. Are they really going to want to take on new talent and stuff like that? And at that point, it was just kind of like, you know what? I'll make one more overture and we'll see how it goes. And it worked out. But before that, leading up to that, all that time, no, because I felt like I was just blazing trails on like the smaller companies and the smaller little independent scenes that I was working, where it was like, I know this stuff's working. I know I'm making a connection here. I just need the right stage to do it. And it took way too long to get there, but you might say it was just at the right time. So here we are, we're doing it, U.S. champion right now, and things I would say are going swimming.
I want to talk real quick about WrestleMania. We had this storyline all week about how the Dodgers-Yankees tickets for the World Series cost $1,000 or above to get in. I feel like this is going to be a very hard ticket in Las Vegas because everybody wants to see that stadium. For example, there was the big auto race there. It's impossible to get tickets in Vegas. So basically, I guess what I'm asking is, can you hook us up? No, but isn't that? I feel like Vegas is going to take it to a whole new level.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to that stadium. I haven't been on the inside of it, but I've seen it from the outside. It looks like a damn Star Wars spaceship or something. But It's a crazy environment to be in when you're just thinking about Vegas at all, and you're thinking two nights out there for WrestleMania. WrestleMania is already like big and crazy enough, but now we're taking it to Vegas, which is absolutely wild. But as far as like the ticket prices, yeah, I mean, I hear some of those front row tickets can be pretty wild. But as far as like, you know, we do try and keep pretty entry level pricing so that everybody can be involved. So I mean, you know, wherever it is in the arena, everybody should be able to get there. Tickets are on sale now. It is John Cena's last WrestleMania, which is something big for everybody to consider getting out there. But also, man, it is just a fun two nights. And you're talking about a show that's so big, it has to be two nights.
We're talking with LA Knight. He's here with us to talk, yes, about WrestleMania 41. The tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Yeah. He's also going to pick some NFL games for right us now. As well. But the other part too, LA, which is great about you, is you get onto a mic and you will take no prisoners. There's a little bit of the attitude era in how you present yourself. And I'm curious, where's the line? How do you know where the line is? Because the attitude era doesn't exist anymore. Society is a little bit different now. How do you figure out where that line is when you're trash talking your opponent?
You know, sometimes it's just asking for forgiveness afterwards and just gotta say the thing. But no, I don't know. Look, I've worked for years in, like I said, in smaller companies, different places on the outside where maybe the rules were a little more lenient. But for me, I never really took major advantage of that, because for me, it was like I'm always working as though I'm on this stage. I'm always working as though I'm in this product, because I don't want to have to make any major adjustments. I don't want to have to completely change my game once I get here. So for me, it was just like, all right, well, let's work within those confines. So I'm not going to, you know, swear too much or say anything too crazy that you can't say. But the art of this whole thing, I think, in a way, is kind of saying the thing without saying in a certain way, but also just trying to find really creative ways to get to your point.
Well, you certainly do that. All right, LA Knight, we've brought you here for a lot of reasons. Again, to talk about WrestleMania, which is happening April. The tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We are also asking you to pick some NFL games for us, so let's get it going. Now, you are from Hagerstown, Maryland. We took a shot in the dark here. Ravens or Commanders? We took a shot that you're a Ravens fan. We're asking you to pick Ravens at Cleveland. The Ravens are an 8.5-point favorite.
Well, I actually, it wasn't the Commanders then, but a Commanders fan. But I did just go to the Ravens-Bucks game this past week on Monday Night Football in Tampa, which that was a shootout. At first, it looked like it was going to be a blowout, and then it turned into a shootout. But because of being there live, I'd have to go with the Ravens.
Okay, well,
looking pretty good this past week.
Let's have you pick the Commanders as well. You got the Bears at the Commanders. Bears are a 3-point favorite.
Well, we're just going to go with the Commanders. I'm just going to be loyal, and we're going to go with that.
How about, and you have to love Jaden Daniels.
Those Bears are probably with that 3 points. We'll see what happens.
And then finally for you, this is a big one this weekend.
Man, you know,
Yeah, go ahead.
See, I can't tell if you're slow or I'm slow. My connection is trash right now, so I'm doing the best I can right now.
Last one, you're doing great. Cowboys at the 49ers. 49ers are a 4.5-point favorite.
I think you got to go 49ers. But that's just me completely guessing. We'll see. How much money you want to put on it? 49ers. I'll take $50 on the 49ers. Who's got me?
By the way, LA, I'm an Eagles fan, and if Washington is as good as they look, I'm going to be depressed for many more years to come.
Man, it's pretty crazy to see. I've got friends who are like massively like, F the Eagles, I hate the Eagles, all this kind of stuff. And it's like, I don't know. For me, it's like, I enjoy the game. I'm a big-time Commanders fan. But at the same time, like, I don't know. Let's just enjoy the game. How about that?
LA Knight, thank you for the time. The U.S. champion, the United States champion, and we should mention again, the WrestleMania 41 in Las Vegas is going to be here before we know it, April 19th and 20th. Tickets available now at Ticketmaster.com. LA, thanks so much for the time. Good luck to you.
Yes, indeed. Everybody get out, get your tickets for WrestleMania. Thank you guys for having me.
Appreciate that. LA Knight took a stab in the dark, that shot in the dark, rather, that he was a Baltimore Ravens fan. Not the case, Commanders fan.
I thought he was... He was sort of accepting of our ask for tickets to WrestleMania.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I didn't hear a no.
There was not a no.
I didn't hear a no.
He's a baby face, so he's not going to say no to our face.
You guys are delusional.
But if we had Dominic Mysterio, he would have been like, screw you, Perloff, no tickets.
You know, listen.
Yeah, true.
We had our WrestleMania moment, and it was epic. Philadelphia, we're all in costumes. That was a great night.
Hey, don't talk like that. I'm not going to rule Vegas out.
Okay. I mean,
that would be cool. We're not getting... did the F1 race happen already? Or that's coming up, right?
You know, the way that this is going to work is Perloff's going to get deeper and deeper, and you're going to end up driving to Las Vegas somehow, because that's how all these things end, with you doing something crazy.
Yes. Wearing a kilt in honor of Roddy Piper.
All right, we got some picks to make. We're going to do that next, Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, MMP. Couple poll questions for you, Prof. Who needs this win more, the 49ers or the Cowboys? Right now, 57% of y'all are saying the Cowboys need the win more than the 49ers on Sunday. Okay. And we asked, who are you rooting for in this World Series? Slight edge goes to the Evil Empire. 54% say they are rooting for the Yankees over the Dodgers. Benjamin is in Southern California. But rooting for the Yankees? Good morning, Ben.
Yes. So I live in SoCal, but I actually grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. So my team is actually the San Francisco Giants. And therefore, I cannot, in good conscience, ever root for the Dodgers. And I personally have a neutral stance towards the Yankees. But given who they're playing, I'm going automatically Yankees because of that.
Yeah.
Also,
yes.
The Dodgers got Shohei, and we tried to go after him. And because the Dodgers were so aggressive and they have all this money to spend, they were able to snatch him up and make it so that we have no shot at getting him. And that ticks me off, too.
Well, Benjamin, I mean, think about it. Thank you for the phone call. You almost had Aaron Judge. Remember that? They could have Aaron. Aaron, unfortunately, decided to re-sign with the Yankees. That was a funny tweet from...
Was that
MLB insider John Heyman, who thought that Aaron Judge was going to the San Francisco Giants, but
in his haste, or was that autocorrect? I don't know what.
No, I think it was the haste. It was Aaron Judge, but it ended up being true because somebody called and woke up Hal Steinbrenner in Italy. This is a real story. Hal Steinbrenner was meeting the Pope at the time, got word about the Aaron Judge stuff, and he got Aaron Judge on the phone. And said, let us make the last and final offer.
There you Probably go. My favorite insider story, like, ever. Like, a story involving an insider. Because, like, then there was, like, that, like, hour where there was no follow-up tweet. So we're like, did he get hacked? What? Is this a joke? What's going on? So funny.
Man, it's great. 855-212-4227. So you can go there, vote. It's kind of a tough one if you're neutral, because the odds are either the Yankees have beaten you at some point in your life, or the Dodgers have beaten you at some point in your life. Or you hate the Yankees, or you love them. Hate the Dodgers or love them. This is tough for neutral fans.
I just think that the Mookie Shohei thing, I mean, those. How do you not like that? Why would anyone have a problem with either of those guys? Unless you hate the Red Sox, but I don't get it.
Let's get to our NFL and college picks.
Maggie and Perloff's NFL picks.
Okay, EJ, what are our records, sir?
Okay, Maggie, last week you were 3-2, so that brings your overall record to 23-12.
Ooh.
Perloff, you were 2-3 last week, so that brings your record to 18-17.
If you're watching on YouTube right now, I'm sneaking a peek over at Maggie's sheet right now.
Stop cheating off my
fire.
Paper.
Fire, Maggie Gray. Another winning week. Nice.
All right,
good
this
job.
Is how we do it. 2 college picks, 3 NFL. Let's go college first, Pearl. What do you got?
It's going to do it against my... sort of better judgment. I'm going to go now. Oklahoma doesn't have any quarterbacks, right? But they're going back to Jackson Arnold. They are not a great team. But I've won betting against Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin before. I think that they keep it within three touchdowns. So I'm going to Oklahoma, getting 21 points to cover at Ole Miss.
And what about your over-under?
Over-under, Ohio State, Nebraska is only at 47.5. I totally get that. Nebraska is having all these low-scoring games. I just saw some vulnerability in Ohio State's defense against Oregon. I think this goes over 47.5.
I like that pick.
Go college.
For my college picks, listen, Vanderbilt has been the King Slayers, so they're getting 18.5 points at home against Texas, who's coming off, obviously, that bad loss against Georgia. I have no doubt that Texas could be fired up for this game. I just think Vandy's actually good. So to keep it close, to keep it within a couple scores, why not? Give me the Vanderbilt plus the 18.5 against Texas. And then for my over-under, I'm going to take Navy and Notre Dame, Pearl, under 50.5. I know Navy, this has been one of the great stories of college football, Army and Navy both being ranked. I love it, and I know the Navy offense has been a lot better, but the Notre Dame defense is still really good. I think this number is too high. 50.5, give me the under.
I can't wait for that game. Okay, pros. I saw what happened last night when Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua came back, so I'm going to do comeback week. Tua Tagovailoa coming back to the Dolphins. They're laying 4 points against Cardinals. I'll go Miami. Over, under. Now, this is a bad idea because I should have checked with you first. Bill Seahawks is only at 46.5. Explain, Maggie. Anyway, I'm going over.
Yeah.
it just feels a little low for me because it's really not about your Bills. Like, the Seahawks can get so many weapons. We'll see what state DK is in. And then you got to go Jameis Winston, 227.5 passing yards. I'm going over on that against Baltimore's shaky secondary.
That's good. I think you can run on Buffalo, so I'm a little surprised that that's low.
Well, maybe they think they'll run the ball and kill the clock.
Maybe that's true. Maybe fewer possessions, I could see it. Okay, love those picks. For me, my against the spread pick, give me the Chargers. I'm going to lay the 7. They got the New Orleans Saints coming to town. Saints are really. It's going to be Spencer Rattler. Mm-hmm. Normally, I don't trust the Chargers ever in a betting spot, but I trust them to win by more than a touchdown against this bad Saints team.
I think they're all down on the Chargers because of that Cardinals game last week, but the Saints are terrible.
I'm basically just looking at bad teams. I think the Saints are bad right now. For my over-under, give me the Jets-Pats under 41. Yeah, what are we doing?
You made a living last year off of betting the under of the Patriots.
I did. I'm going back to the well. Yeah. They're a mess, and the Jets offense, how good could it really be?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're smart. It's a lot of Breece Hall.
I would think so. And then my player prop, I'm going to a game that you've already picked, but I'm going to go to Tyreek Hill over 6.5 receptions. He told everybody, start me in fantasy. Got Tua back. This feels like an 8-target day to me for Tyreek Hill. So give me the over 6.5.
For 160 yards, too. Yeah. He's going to do something. Every time he catches it, whoop. Yeah, guy, I've never seen a player smile more than between games. Tyreek Hill is pre-celebrating this game.
Yeah, he wears it on his sleeve, that's for sure. So I was going to do over the 6.5 reception. It's plus 121 if you're looking for the numbers there. So there you go. That's our Maggie and Perloff NFL and college picks for this weekend.
What do you got this weekend?
We got the World Series tonight.
Oh, my God, there's so much sports.
Boise and UNLV.
I know, huge game.
That's going to be a fun game. And because I live in the state of New Jersey, I try to keep up with Rutgers football. Yeah. But that game kicks off at 11 o'clock Eastern time. And I could be partying with Pablo Escobar and I wouldn't be able to stay up for that game.
Can we just say that there is no doubt that LSU against A&M is going to be something crazy at the end. We're going to have to stay up. We're going to have to nap.
I cannot wait for that game.
But what are we talking about Monday morning? You know what we're talking about Monday morning. Jerry Jones post-game comments after the Niners Cowboys. Whatever happens, that's going to be wild.
Please, someone else in sports, save us from Jerry Jones. Thank you to EJ Stewart. Thank you to Ryan Botcher. Thank you to Andrew Bogish and Andrew Kaplan. Nick Costos, who joined us and joins us every Friday. LA Knight, WWE superstar, who joined us as well. Weedos and coffee drinkers, you know where you live. Right here, right in our hearts. See you Monday.